Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back, CJ Evolution. I am very excited to bring on my next guest. Her name is Christy Neese. She is an accomplished author, speaker, and artist. She is also founder of a nationwide nonprofit ministry called Badge of Hope. And I'm so thankful Christy came on, because I want her to talk about the other side, you know, the family side. She's an expert on, you know, being a wife married to a police officer and some other family issues that can come up. So, Christy, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's my pleasure.
What got you into writing about law enforcement, and what got you into it?
Well, in 2008, I went to a writer's conference. I've always liked to write, and I had written one book previously, and so I had gone to a writer's conference, and while I was there, I had met a woman who, we got to talking. She was into, she was kind of more in the higher-ups of the editing and that sort of thing in writing. And we were talking, and she said, you know, you need to write a devotional for police wives. Mm-hmm. And I had never considered that. Law enforcement was my husband's world. It was not mine. I didn't have anything to do with it other than just be married to him. But as I got to thinking about it, you know, kind of mulling it over in my mind, I thought, you know, there are no resources out there for spouses of police officers. So I kind of put some feelers out on the internet and said, you know, this is who I am. This is what I'm thinking about doing. Kind of do a little kind of devotional for police wives with stories, kind of like a chicken soup for your soul type
sure.
thing.
Yeah, Jack Canfield, amazing book. And
right.
Yeah, it's just amazing stuff. It's so good, because, I mean, you know this, Christy, and, you know, I'm preaching to the choir, but, I mean, so much of what law enforcement officers see is negative. So we have to try to have more positive going into, you know, whether it's spirituality, meditate, whatever. We need to have more positive
right.
going in. So that's why I really love your message, and you talk about, you know, your books. You've written several books: Above the Fray, Under Fire, Lives Behind the Badge, Standing Courageous. Your recent one is Above the Fray, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
And that is a study that covers some of the most important stress factors in a police wife's life, and offers tools to help cope with them. What makes law enforcement wives different from other wives? All wives are important, but what makes law enforcement wives unique? Because I'm married, and I have a wife that is obviously married to me, a law enforcement. What is the unique challenges that law enforcement wives face?
Well, you know, I think for so long the home front kind of has been ignored, and not purposely, but, you know, law enforcement officers are out there doing their job, and the wives, the spouses, you know, at home are often overlooked. Because they have their own set of stress factors. You know, they, especially in the age that we're living in, where we're losing so many officers to ambush and that sort of thing, there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of anxiety. You know, I hear a lot of wives that, you know, say they just really don't want their husband going back out there. They want them to go ahead and, you know, get out or retire or whatever. And so it's very hard for these wives to cope with that. And a lot of times, they feel like that they're kind of isolated, like maybe that they're the only ones that are going through that. And so as we have kind of developed, you know, resources and seminars and things like that, it's kind of helped open the airways and bring together these groups of wives, you know, and spouses together, so that they see that there is a support system there.
And what other problems? I mean, you've talked to many wives that are police wives. I mean, what's some of the common themes beyond just the safety aspect of it? I mean, that's kind of, you know, I mean, that's a given that, you know, wives are going to, and family members, not just wives, but family members are going to worry about their loved one, you know, putting on the uniform, going out there. What are some of the other, you talk about, you know, stress factors in you know, being a police wife and being, you know, and just being part of a police family. What are some of the other stressors that you could share with us?
Sure. One of the biggest complaints that I hear is a lack of communication. You know, when an officer is on the job, you know, during their shift time, they are on a heightened alert, you know, heightened senses. And so when they come home, they crash. And that kind of leads into then no communication. They don't want to make decisions anymore. They don't want to, you know, they just want to sit and vegetate in front of the TV or on their computer or, you know, on their phone or play games or, you know, whatever. And it's hard for them to kind of plug back in, you know, because the wife, especially, you know, she's relational by nature. She needs to reconnect, you know, to her husband. And he's just wanting to kind of crash and kind of unwind from the day. And so that's one thing. Another thing is, you know, the single parenting. You know, when he's out there or, you know, the officer is out there working the streets, the partner at home, the, you know, the mom, she's taking care of the kids and she's balancing, you know, she may work outside the home, but she's also, you know, taking care of the home. And there's so many responsibilities that she has to be in charge of. You know, if he's called out for, you know, several hours or several even days for a situation, she may have to handle, you know, the car that has broke down or the furnace that went out or whatever on top of everything else.
Exactly.
So the single parenting, though, you know, taking care of the kids and making sure that they're where they need to be and all of that. So there's a lot of different factors. Loneliness is another one, you know, so it's just a lot of factors that can cause stress related issues within the family union.
And that's, yeah, excellent. And I remember when I was on the street, we had a brief conversation before we went live, and I didn't tell you, but I worked graves. I'm sure your husband at some point did, maybe he didn't, but I worked graves for many, many years, and I was thinking about when you were talking about, you know, the wife with a significant other becomes just, you know, you're wearing so many different hats. And I remember, you know, getting off at, you know, 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning when I was on the street, and you know, just crashing, and then, you know, my wife would have to, like you said, pick up the slack. And, you know, it's definitely, I mean, that's just the nature of the job, you know, shift work, but it's, you know, it makes for, you know, just, it's not a healthy thing to be doing. And I don't know what the cure is, but, I mean, I think, like you said, I mean, communication and being open is probably the big thing, so.
Yeah, it's key. You know, when we do our marriage seminars, we have a 3-hour marriage seminar that we do. And when I talk about, you know, the stress factors that men and women or husband and wives, you know, spouses go through, I talk to the officers directly and I say, you know, okay, I understand the need to defragment is what I call it, you know, coming off that job, coming off of those situations that you've just experienced, but you've got to, you know, replug in.
Yeah.
You've got back into the game. You know, yes, you may have a time where you can kind of sit there and vegetate a little, but you've got to plug back in because she needs you, you know, and the kids need you.
And I don't know if you ever, you might have heard, you ever heard of Kevin Gilmartin, Dr. Gilmartin?
Yes.
Yeah, so
I've read that book.
Oh, yeah, Emotional Survival. And I was thinking about that because he talks about essentially the same thing, which is so important that, when we, and I was there, you know, I don't know if your husband's ever been there. I imagine he was at some point, you know, where you get off and you just want to veg. You don't want to make any decisions. Oh, we want to go out to dinner. Well, you choose, honey. I don't care. I don't care where we go. But he talks about that, you know, that having that balance. You know, it always makes me think about, you know, he talks about how firefighters really have it right and police officers have it wrong with maintaining a balance. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah.
You talk about, it's like parasites too that can, you know, factor in. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, there are so many things, and I just give a small list of things that can come against your marriage. But you know, things like alcoholism. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a known fact that alcohol, you know, goes along with cops, and it's just used, you know, to de-stress, to unwind. But a lot of times, you know, and we see this every day, that alcoholism is becoming, you know, it's such a problem that it's becoming a crutch, you know, that these officers are out there. And, yeah, they use that alcohol as a social time, but they also are now, they've got to have it. You know, they've got to have it in order to continue and keep going through their day. And not only them, but now, you know, we're also seeing spouses that are becoming alcoholics because it's just a coping mechanism.
Yeah, sure.
They're trained to alcohol. But, you know, we see drug abuse. You know, how many times has an officer gotten hurt on the job, and you know, a doctor is just really easy to write a prescription. They get hooked on this drug, and then it's hard to get off, and then they need a stronger drug because that one's no longer doing it. Or what about the officer that's working undercover, you know, trying to bust these narcotics that are out there, and he himself gets hooked on the drug. Yeah. You know, and it happens all the time. And there's officers that actually go to jail, you know, because they have fallen. But there's also things like, you know, just, you know, family, you know, family, hobbies, things that are good, but they can get in the way. You know, in-laws can come in and create havoc. You know, if you don't set up these healthy boundaries, those things can come in and cause problems in your marriage. But, you know, same thing like isolation. You know, cops are notorious to kind of isolate themselves from, you know, the outside world because, you know, those people don't understand. So they kind of, you know, very exclusive. They kind of stick with their own kind or, you know, just kind of stay off by themselves. But it pulls the family into that, you know, inclusiveness as well.
Yeah. And the one thing that I have learned, and I'm only speaking for myself, is the one thing I have learned over the years is, you know, you have to have friends outside of law enforcement. That is, to me, it is so important because, look, I'm a cop through and through, but you have to talk about other things besides law enforcement 24/7. So to give you an example, Christy, when I come home, my wife has nothing to do with law enforcement. She has friends that have nothing to do with law enforcement. And I remember when my wife and I first started dating, you know, I was kind of I had that mentality like it's, well, they're not cops. I'm not gonna talk to them, you know. Like they're them. I'm me. You know, it's kind of like us against them mentality. But as time went on, her friends, not all of them, but a lot of them, started becoming my friends, and I started realizing that it was okay for. I mean, it was healthy for me to see the other side and realize that yeah, there's a lot of bad people out there. Don't get me wrong, and you know that, and your husband knows that. But there's a lot of people that are good, and you don't, you know, you sometimes you just have to. You know, realize that because that was probably one of the best things that ever happened to me, just starting to, you know, to hang out with people outside of law enforcement. Again, I'm not bashing law enforcement, but I think it's very, very healthy. I mean, what do you think about that?
Oh, I totally agree. You know, and there again, you know, many officers, like you said, you know, they have that us against them mentality.
Well, it's ingrained. It's ingrained in us, you know, from the academy.
It is. And, you know, and as an example, we had a friend years ago who he was a cop in a big city, and he ended up having to take a guy's life in front of this gentleman's little girl. The little girl, you know, of course, screamed, and so he was having a really hard time because he would wake up at night, you know, with these nightmares of hearing this little girl screaming. And so, you know, time went on. He finally, he was in a church, and there were some people there, some guys there that, you know, were his friends. But one time he, you know, decided, okay, I feel safe enough. I'm going to share with you kind of what happened that night. Because they couldn't, you know, it was hard for them to understand, you know, what he was really going through.
Sure.
So he shared with them. Well, they, you know, they pulled away because, you know, it is hard for them to understand. They don't understand, you know, people. They don't. It's hard for them to put themselves into that position when they've never been there. However, you know, as we kind of ministered to our friend, we said you can't judge everybody by that. You know, okay. So some people can't handle all of the details that you've given them, but that doesn't mean that everybody won't rally around you and at least be supportive, you know, of you. So we have to really be careful that we don't label everyone out there in the same way because. That, like you said, there are some very good people out there and it's very healthy to have those relationships.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, you know, I mean, you know this and your husband knows this and other cops out there who are going to listen. You know, you have to keep that guard up. I get that, you know, and you have to be in that hyper-vigilant state, you know. But there, like we just said, I mean, not everybody out there is a criminal. And that really took me many years to realize that. And, of course, what you know, I still, again, you know, have my guard up a lot of times. But I'm more open, Christy, than I have been in years past, you know, because I'm just more open to people. I'm open more to meeting new people, and you know, and it's I find myself in kind of a weird space, because I think, as you know, I would have thought as I got older I would have got more stubborn in my ways, but I mean, I've really, you know, I've done, you know, spirituality comes into play. You've talked about that. I mean, I meditate. I've always talked about that on the podcast. So I think you have to have outlets, you know, sure. out there, and you know this. You have to have other outlets out there, whether it's exercise or meditation or praying or whatever, that's going to help you through, you know, the tough points in your career, and we all go through them.
That's right. Yes, I agree.
And so I read an article recently where it said, you know, that law enforcement divorce rates in law enforcement are high, but I read this article and I wish I had it in front of me, but it talked about how it's not as high. They're still high, but it's not as high as we once thought. I mean, what we talked about a lot of it, but why do you think divorce is prevalent in law enforcement? We talked about any other thing you can throw in there, your take. I mean, you talk to so many people out there, and you counsel, and you just talk to so many people. And any other reasons why there's divorce? I mean, infidelity, I'm assuming, comes into play at some point. I mean, with some couples, but any other thing that could just tear a couple apart?
Well, you know, there's been talk back and forth for years about the divorce rate. Is it high? Is it not high? You know, I've heard 65% to 80%. Mm-hmm. I've had people tell me, you know, I had one sheriff tell me in a county that he was in Alabama, it was 90% upward. You know, I don't know the exact figure. However, I would venture to say the amount of people that I talk to, the amount of groups that I'm a part of on Facebook, you know, it is high. And, you know, whatever that number may be, it is very high, because every single day there are, several wives that I see, that I read their posts, you know, that, well, you know, I'm not a part of this group anymore because, you know, or, you know, we're getting divorced because, and, you know, a lot of it that I do see is that the husband is walking away. You know, he's finding someone else. Mm-hmm. He's getting caught up in this infidelity, and he's leaving the family unit. Mm-hmm. Does that mean that it's always the husband? No, definitely not. You know, there are wives out there that do the very same thing. But, a large majority of what I see is it does revolve around that. Now, I think, you know, personally, just from observation and talking with officers and things, I think a lot of that comes from two things. First thing is, you know, they don't, most of them do not have any kind of spiritual background at all. They have, you know, nothing to fall back on. And so their life, you know, they have no safety net there to give them any kind of release, you know, from the chaos that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Second of all, you know, they get caught up. I think the stresses of the job cause them sometimes to kind of, you know, it seems like it just kind of takes over their mindset. They just start making poor choices because yeah. of the stress, this high stress that they are dealing with. Yeah. And, you know, they just don't know how to cope well. And so I think that, you know, those are some very, you know, those are things that we see every day is the infidelity is a very big one.
So what do you do, Christy, when you go in there and you're talking to couples that are on that on that brink of maybe you have one or the other or both wanting to walk away, but you know, what do you tell them? I mean, how do you say, look, I mean, you need to work it out? I mean, what advice are you giving them?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we are in a very instantaneous society. You know, breaks or the dryer goes out, you know, we pitch it and we get a new one. And so that's kind of the mindset of our world today, is that, you know, if our marriage isn't working, you know, hey, there's a lot of fish out there, you know, you can go get a new one. So what we tell them is, you know, fight for your marriage. If you love this person, you know, when you got married, then, you know, sometimes life happens and things cover that over. But, you know, you can fight for that and you can win that back.
Sure.
And we have seen couple after couple. We've had couples in our home. We've met with couples. Some, you know, obviously they just don't work out. It just does not work out. But we have seen couples that we have ministered to, we have worked with, and they have fought for their marriage and won. I mean, they are now thriving in their marital unit. And so it can be done. It's just how much work you want to put into it.
Yeah, like you said, it has to. You have to want it. You know, I mean, if you have to want to save that marriage.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, and well, you know, I mean, there's, I mean, it just affects not only, I mean, it affects everybody. Kids, if they're involved, obviously, with a divorce.
Right.
We talked about some challenges with couples. I want to get your take on, and what do you think some of the, now this is probably a bigger question, but what do you think some of the biggest challenges facing law enforcement today are? I mean, outside of what we talked about already, you know, the personal is such a huge chunk because, you know, if you are not right in your personal life, it's probably going to show up in your professional life. I get that. But as a law enforcement wife, I mean, you watch the news, Christy. I mean, what do you think some of the biggest hurdles law enforcement, you know, faces today?
Right. Well, you know, okay, let's just lay it out there on the table. The media has just ran over our law enforcement. They've just run us through the mud. And it's unfair. And it's hurtful because it has done so much damage, not only in the public eye, but it has done so much damage to our officers, the morale as well. You think of, you know, it's kind of the Ferguson effect. We have academies that can't even get recruits because nobody wants to be a cop anymore. I mean, why would you want to subject yourself to that and, you know, get low pay and be shot at and possibly killed? And maybe even if you do something to defend yourself, be put in jail. I mean, why would you want to sign up for that?
True.
You know, you can be
True.
A firefighter and have a lot of time off. Love our firefighters, by the way. My husband was a firefighter for 10 years, so I totally get it. But what I'm saying is, you know, it's hard and it's frustrating. And I think the general mood of the law enforcement family, they're just tired and they're tired of it. You know, they're tired of a lack of leadership. They're tired of people not having their backs. They're tired of, I mean, there's departments out there that are, I know one right now that she mentioned the other day, this wife said that they hadn't got a paycheck in like over a month. You know, there's cities that just don't have the funding for their officers. Many of them don't have equipment. There's just so many things that are going on, and that puts our officers in danger.
Yeah. And you talked about, for those people who might be listening later on, Christy mentioned the Ferguson effect. And for those of you who don't know what it is, the Ferguson effect is, you know, in the wake of the Michael Brown shooting in Missouri and, you know, Christy's neck of the woods and all the things that came out, you know, the false narrative, we've already talked about that, you know, the hands up, don't shoot, which proved to be entirely false. And you know, how this basically has affected a lot of law enforcement operations and how we do things. I had Heather McDonald on the show the other day, Christy. She wrote a book called The War on Cops, an amazing, you know, author like you. And she talked about this. She talked about the Ferguson effect, and she went into depth about this. Mm-hmm. So, folks out there, it is alive and real. You know,
right.
Christy even said it. I mean, and I see it where I'm at, Colorado, and for other people. And it just isn't just in two states. This is all over the country, where people, like Christy said, officers that we need are not signing up because they're afraid. They're afraid of, you know, getting sued or being the next headline. So, yeah, it's just, it's crazy. So, if you could change one thing, Christy, just, well, probably a couple things, but if you could change just one thing about the job, what would you do? What would you change? If you had the power, if you had a wand in your hand and said, hey, I'm changing this, what would you do?
Well, that's kind of a loaded question, but I think, you know, probably across the board, and I realize that there are departments out there, there's big cities that they have the resources, they can pay for officers, but there are many, many, many more who do not pay well. So, you know, I think if we could change the city administrators, the, you know, all of the politics that go along with policing, you know, within the communities, if we could help them to see that our officers are so valuable, and without them, you know, can you only imagine what our communities would be like? And that if we could support them a little bit more by paying them more, you know, giving them an incentive to come to work every day, you know, and provide for their families. I think that's so important. Mm-hmm.
Now, I do think that there is many more. I don't know what your thoughts are on this, Christy, but I do think that a lot of people out there support law enforcement. You know, I think that somehow they've gotten overtaken by certain movements. You know, and you know, the squeakiest wheel gets, you know, the oil kind of thing. I mean, I do think, though, a lot of people out there, you know, are very, very supportive of law enforcement. But you make a good point, you know, with pay. Look, we don't get into this job to become rich. We all get that. But we get into this job to make a living and care for our families.
Right. And I agree, too. You know, we have some great supporters of our ministry, of you know, just law enforcement in general. So yes, there are some wonderful people out there. But I have seen, you know, there's departments that I am familiar with that the higher ups don't understand or don't care, possibly, you know, the importance of their officers. I think they tend to overlook them. And so the funding is just not there for those people.
Well, Christy, if people want to reach out to you, how can they find you?
They can definitely find me at badgeofhopeministries.com through our website there, or christyneese.com, or you can always shoot me an email at neesekr@yahoo.com.
And if you go to Christy's website, it's funny because she has these little things about Christy, and one of the things I was laughing about when I saw it is you said your handwriting is atrocious. Well, my handwriting is atrocious too.
I was supposed to be a doctor, but I didn't get memo.
Well, Christy, I love what you're doing, and I'm sure the listeners love what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing because it's so important. Thank you, you know, for being a voice for all, you know, law enforcement families out there and spouses, wives of law enforcement officers. If we didn't have people like you, and my wife's the same as you, very, very supportive, a rock. I mean, I couldn't do this without her. I mean, there is absolutely no way. So I appreciate what you're doing, the message you're sending out there. It is so important. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your service.
Well, thank you. And thanks, everybody, for joining us on this episode. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.